So yesterday we were looking in the book of Matthew, and I was specifically looking at just a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 9, this is the story of the ruler of the synagogue who came to Jesus. And while Jesus was speaking to the disciples of John, it says, while he spake these things, let me read it to you from the New American Standard Bible. While he was saying these things to them, speaking to the disciples of John the Baptist, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will come and she will live. Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. So what we were looking at yesterday was several different things, but we were looking at how this synagogue ruler, who he was, that he saw his daughter die, and how even though he saw his daughters die, he didn't end there. That was not the end of the story for him. For most of us, that's about as far as our brains are willing to go. Our minds are only willing to go, our logic will only go to a certain place. And if we had been that father and we saw our daughter die, you know, that's where the mind refuses to go further. The natural mind will not go further. It says, this is the end. This is the end of the matter. It's done. Just accept it, yield to it, go on, because this is done. But this father didn't do that. Why? Because he had hope in Jesus Christ. And he had seen, and we saw yesterday, he had seen all these miracles. He had lived it. He'd seen it. He'd probably heard other people talking about the miracles of Jesus. Likely he would have seen some of them himself. And so he believed that Jesus could heal his daughter from the dead. And even though he saw his daughter dead, he went to Jesus and he said, Jesus, if you just come and lay hands on her, she will rise again. Now we compared that with the faith of the centurion, who just one chapter before this, he came to Jesus and asked Jesus to pray for his servant who was sick. And he said, you don't have to even come, Jesus. You say the word. And Jesus said, greater faith he had not seen in all of Israel. He had not seen greater faith than this man who said, you don't have to even come. You speak the word, and I believe it's done. So we see the difference between the centurion in chapter 8 and then here in chapter 9, the ruler of the synagogue. But the great thing is, Jesus didn't criticize the ruler of the synagogue. He didn't say, why didn't you learn from the example of the centurion? You need faith like the centurion. Your faith is not where it should be. You need faith like the centurion. You don't have that faith, so until you get that faith, nothing else can be done. He didn't put any qualifiers on it at all. He met the man where his faith was. The man obviously had faith because he saw his daughter dead, but he still had hope and he still had faith that Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. Now, his faith was not where he believed that if Jesus just said it. His faith was, Jesus, you come, you lay hands on her, and she'll rise again. Now, Jesus could have. Obviously, we saw that with the centurion. Jesus could have just spoken, and she'd have been alive. But the father's faith was, I need to see you touch my daughter. And Jesus didn't qualify the man's faith or disqualify his faith. He met the man where his faith was at. The man was exemplifying faith. The man was demonstrating faith. He was operating in faith, and Jesus met him where his faith was at. And then we saw that even as he's going from where this man had met to where his daughter was, we saw along the way that there was the miracle of the woman with the issue of blood who was healed. So Jesus is just doing so much. So I want to pick it up from there. Now, to really pick it up from there, we need to go backwards a little bit, just so we can understand everything that's taking place before this event we just talked about, and so that we can understand what Jesus is saying and doing through this. So if we look at chapter 9, just before, here's the things that took place before this ruler of the synagogue came and addressed Jesus and asked Jesus to come pray for his daughter who had died. What takes place before then is Jesus, at the beginning of chapter 9, healed a man that had palsy. Then we see Jesus calling Matthew to be a disciple. So he's still in that process of calling his 12. Now here's Matthew, who was a publican, who was a tax collector, and he's calling him to come and follow him. And then Jesus is sitting with some of the tax collectors, and Jesus is being criticized by the Pharisees for associating and sitting with sinners. And the Pharisees actually then question the disciples, Jesus' disciples, and questions them, why eateth your master with the publicans and the sinners? So Jesus, and I want to get into a lot of details here, but the disciples obviously come and share that with Jesus, and Jesus gives the response that, let me read this to you from the New American Standard Bible. This is now in verse number 13. Or verse number 12. But when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Now listen to what he says. He's talking to the disciples here because the Pharisees had asked the question of the disciples, but they didn't ask Jesus. They're questioning the disciples. So clearly the disciples are bringing that question to Jesus and saying, look, the Pharisees are asking this question. And here's Jesus' response, not to the Pharisees, but to the disciples. And that's important. He says, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He's saying, go and learn what this means. What did he just say? Before that, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Now go and learn what that means. So Jesus is putting this challenge before the disciples and saying, okay, you're coming to me with a question that the Pharisees have asked about me. And why is it that I sit with the sinners? Here's my answer. My answer to you as the disciples. It's not the healthy who need the physician, but it's the sick who need a physician. So go and learn what this means. It's not the healthy who need a physician. It's the sick who need a physician. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. So Jesus is challenging the disciples and saying, here's the answer to the question. The sick need a physician, not the healthy. Go and figure out, go and learn what that means. Because here's my heart. I desire compassion. So Jesus is saying, I desire compassion. I desire you to have compassion on others and not sacrifice. I desire compassion. You know, the Bible tells us that to obey is better than sacrifice. Men are quick sometimes to make sacrifices because it's easier just to give a sacrifice than it is to actually give of yourself or to actually have a heart for others or to actually have empathy for others. It's easier to sacrifice than to obey. Now, Jesus is saying something similar here when he says compassion and not sacrifice. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. So I don't want you to just give a sacrifice for those who have a need. I desire you to have compassion for them. And he challenged them to go and learn this. So that's what's taking place. Then we see that the disciples of John the Baptist come and they're asking Jesus about fasting. Then we get to the story of the ruler of the synagogue who came to Jesus. So as Jesus is going with the ruler of the synagogue in order to heal or raise his daughter from the dead, this is when we see the woman with the issue of blood comes to Jesus. We see that healing take place. Then we see that Jesus arrives at the ruler's house, and there's all this noise and all this din and all these flutes that are playing. There's all this mourning that's taking place and this wailing, and Jesus ushers them all out, and he raises the daughter from the dead. And then immediately after that, we see that as he's moving on, two blind men call for him. He has pity on them. He heals them. He touches their eyes, and he heals them, and their eyes are opened. And they go off and they share this truth with others. Then he's going along his way and a dumb man comes under the power of a demon is brought to Jesus. And that demon was driven out and the man spoke again and the crowds were amazed. So look at what's taking place. There's a lot of things taking place. It all starts with Jesus healing the man that had palsy. And then he's talking to his disciples about, you need to learn. The physician didn't come to heal those who are healthy, but those who are sick. You need to learn this. I desire that you have compassion and not sacrifice. So he wants the disciples to learn. Then they're seeing more evidence of exactly what he's talking about. Jesus desires us to have compassion and to touch other people's lives. He said to learn these things. He said to learn that the physician came not for the healthy, but for the sick. Learn this. Go and learn this. Then he gives the examples, further examples. Healing the sick, then with the issue of blood. Raising the dead, as he raises the synagogue's ruler's daughter from the dead. Casting out demons. As the dumb man had that demon, he cast him out. These are all the things that the Old Testament says would point to Messiah. These are all qualifying that he is the Son of God. He's fulfilling all the things because it was said that he would heal the sick, raise the dead, deliver the demon-oppressed. And in just these few verses, we see Jesus doing all of these things. It's the demonstration of who he is. So that's clear, but why is that significant in context with all of this? And what does that have to do with what we're talking about this morning? Again, remember that Jesus had said to his disciples, "I didn't come to heal the healthy, but the sick." You need to learn this. Go and learn this. He's telling them to go and to learn that truth, to learn it from themselves. He's telling them to go because he desires that they have compassion, not just make sacrifice. He desires them to live these things. Then he demonstrates these things and that he is the Messiah. So that's all what's taking place during Matthew chapter 9. What a great chapter that is. But here's how the chapter ends. I'm going to read verses 35 through 38. And remember what he had told the disciples earlier in the chapter. He said, "I didn't come to heal the healthy, but the sick. Go and learn this." Now listen to what he says. Verse number 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Here's the compassion. He just told the disciples, "I desire compassion." Here's the compassion that Jesus has for all the people that he's looking at and seeing. Because Jesus has not yet overcome sin and death. Jesus has not yet offered his body, his life, as a sacrifice for our sins. That hasn't happened yet. And because of that, people are still oppressed with no means of deliverance in themselves. And he has pity. His heart has compassion for them because he sees them distressed and dispirited. This touches his heart. And this is the compassion that he was asking the disciples to have as well. He sees the people without a shepherd, and he knows he is that shepherd. Now listen to what he says in verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." Okay, so here's where I'm coming to with this whole thing. Jesus had told the disciples, this is why he came, and this is what his desire is. And he said to the disciples, "Go and learn this for yourself." Now here at the very end of the chapter, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into the harvest fields." What did he tell the disciples earlier? Go and learn. You know, we read these verses in 37 and 38, and here's what we do. We read it and it says, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers in the harvest." We read that, and here's what we do. And I'm not saying this is wrong, but there's more to it than this. There's more depth. We read that, and we say, well, we need to pray. Let's pray, because the harvest is plentiful. So let's pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers. And we think that as long as we just pray, and we should, and this is true. This is truth. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. We need to pray that. But beyond that, we need to live that ourselves. It's not enough for us just to pray that God sends out, and he will. He will challenge and send those out. But what did he tell the disciples earlier in the chapter? He said, go and learn this yourself. Learn to have compassion. Learn to serve. Learn to do these things, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to deliver the demon-possessed, to operate in what we will call to now, what we have, is the resurrection power of Jesus. The disciples didn't have that, but here's what we see happening. Jesus is telling them to go. He's not saying just pray. I'm saying go. Go and learn. Go and learn. And then what happens? In the 10th chapter, this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And then it tells who those 12 disciples were, and it says that they went out and they went to town, and they did those things. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They delivered the demon-possessed. Jesus had said, listen, I need you to learn. This is who I am, and this is why I've come. I need you to go and to learn. And then later, he says, pray that the Lord will thrust them out. Here's how that verse reads in the Amplified Bible. verses 37 and 38 of Matthew 9. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is indeed plentiful, and the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into the harvest." He's saying pray that the Lord will thrust out and force out his laborers into the harvest to do the harvesting. And then that's exactly what Jesus did. He thrust his disciples out. He forced them out. He gave them the power and authority, and he thrust them into the harvest field, and they saw the results. And this is what Jesus wants for you and I today. He gave the disciples the authority of his name. We have the authority of his name and the victory of his name. And he wants us to do more than just pray. Listen, the harvest field is great, and it's great around you. And Jesus wants us to do more than just pray that the Lord will send out or thrust out laborers into the field. We need to do that, but we need to understand that we are those laborers as well and be willing to have him, because in the same way that he empowered the disciples, he gave them the authority of his name, then he thrust them out. We have the authority of his victorious name, and we need to be the ones in his compassion going out and in the authority of his name, seeing the resurrection power, heal the sick, raise the dead, and deliver the demon-possessed, to see the supernatural take place as we pray for others and as we meet their needs, to see the supernatural take place to the glory of Jesus.